Coming up next, I'm going to tell you how to be the most influential person in the room in your work. And then a toxic workplace is tripling the risk of depression. And of course, we take your calls, and it all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. Let's get right to it. How do you become more influential? How do you become the most influential person in the room? Because influence leads to all kinds of goodness in your work. So let's break down influence. What is influence? Let's define it really simply so that we can begin the process of figuring out, okay, now if I add more influence, I am seeing unbelievable results in my work, which will also give me great results in my life. So here it is. Influence is the capacity. This is a key word. We'll come back to this. Influence is the capacity. Think a container has X amount of capacity, and an arena, right, has capacity as it relates to seats and humans that it can put in there. So influence is the capacity to have an effect on the behavior, character, or development of someone or something. The capacity to have an effect on the behavior, character, or development of someone or something. I worked for years for renowned leadership author and guru John Maxwell, who once said, leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Influence, the capacity to change the behavior of someone. Influence, the ability to change the direction, the trajectory of something. Influence. If you think about growth in your professional world, if you think about dreams in your personal life, they all come right back to influence. Do you have any? Do you have some? How do I get more? How do I get more influence? This, after all, is the drive. It's magical in some ways. And so here's what I want to do. We're going to break this down. I think there are four specific actions that if you are consistent in taking these actions and they become character qualities, then your influence will grow enormously, exponentially. So we'll think of them as pillars because the foundation of success is influence, period. So let's break them down. The first pillar is consistency. You must be known in the workplace for consistency, consistently showing up, consistently delivering results. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we make getting ahead so complex and so complicated. And after all, it's quite simple. The bar is so low that if we just show up consistently and we deliver consistently, this is what's expected of me. I'm going to show up and I'm going to deliver results. By sheer organic osmosis, you will get ahead of the pack by showing up and by delivering. Consistency. Listen, let's just pause for a second and look at the last 2 years, how the pandemic in 2020 and 2021 shifted the workplace, the pressures it put on companies and leaders. How attractive do you think consistency is right now? It's really attractive. The second pillar, gratitude. This is an act, it's an outward act of expressing gratitude, handwritten notes, looking people in the eye, your leaders, your coworkers, your customers, thanking them, showing and demonstrating gratitude. Again, extremely attractive. I mean, you just think about somebody who consistently shows up, delivers, and has a spirit of gratitude. That's attractive. Watch what's happening. I've only shared two of the pillars so far, but a person who consistently shows up and delivers results, what's expected of them, and has a spirit of gratitude about them, all of a sudden people are attracted to you. Do you see what's happening here? It's like a magnet. You're pulling people to you. That's what attractiveness is. You're grateful for the opportunity to contribute. The third pillar, I call this the pillar of service. So pillar of consistency, pillar of gratitude, the third pillar, the pillar of service. Looking for opportunities to serve. This is outside of your job description. This is outside of the metrics you're being measured on. This is looking to serve always. Radar up. Think of it as the old school antenna. I remember when the first cell phones came out, I had one of those bricks. It literally could kill a person with one of those Motorola bricks. You know what I'm talking about? Probably weighed 5 pounds. And you'd get a call and you'd flip open the bottom. I'm aging myself. This is in the late 90s. And then you'd pull out the antenna. Yeah, dude out in the lobby totally did it with me. Right? We pull out the antenna. And now we know the antenna really did nothing at all. It was just like a thing. But here's the idea. I want you to think of yourself when you get out of the car at work. And as you're walking into the office, I want you to kind of pull the antenna out of your shoulder, if you will, or the top of your ear, you get to pick. And you don't have to do this, but I'm saying this, the mental exercise of going, you know what? I'm going to get my antenna up today and look for opportunities to serve. Again, look at the three so far. Watch what's happening. I'm consistent. I show up, I deliver. I have a spirit of gratitude, of gratefulness all over me. I share it all the time. And then I'm looking for opportunities to step in and serve when somebody least expects it, when I'm needed. I don't pass by, I dive in. That's attractive. Again, pulling people to you like a magnet. This is influence. They start going, man, this is great. Their actions, listen, your actions are already influencing the behavior and character and development of others. Last pillar, the pillar of elevation. You are known for lifting others with your encouragement. You are known for lifting others with your enthusiasm. I like to call it the juice. Because I think people get that. You know, you around people that just have the juice. You're just like, what do they have, man? They just got a little bounce. It's like the Tiggers. Winnie the Pooh is my favorite all-time, you know, cartoon. And it's the difference between Tigger and Eeyore. I mean, poor Eeyore. We pick on Eeyore. But the creators of Winnie the Pooh knew what they were doing. They were demonstrating what the Eeyores of life are like. They're confused, wandering all the time, always looking for the negative. Where's my tail? I can't find my tail. Tigger, he's just happy to be anywhere. If you are lifting people by encouraging them, if you are lifting people with your spirit of enthusiasm, you've gained influence and now the opportunity to make change. Start with all four of those and watch opportunities show up at your doorstep. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Are you ready to launch into a tech career in the next year? Bethel School of Technology's online technology bootcamp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. Aiden is a recent high school graduate who skipped college to enroll with Bethel Tech. In less than a year, he has a job as a developer with a salary of $65,000. 80% of Bethel Tech students land jobs within 4 months of graduating. Bethel students get jobs, and you can too. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started today.
Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in life. Thrilled to have you. It is a caller functional show, meaning that we're here to serve you as your counselor, coach, and cheerleader. 844-747-2577 is the number. You can see it there on the screen. Taking calls from all around the globe. 844-747-2577. 877-381-3777. Let's go to Dylan, who joins us in Warren, Ohio. Dylan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks, Ken, for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
So, I'm 20 years old in my second year of college right now. I'm sort of looking for advice on what would be the best path to get qualified into the field I want to go into.
Great. What's the field?
I want to be a college football coach.
Come on.
Or work as some sort of director in college football operations.
Nice. All right. And how far into school are you?
It's my second year right now.
Second year.
But the only issue that I've run into now is that I started pursuing a degree that I realize is not right for me.
What's the degree?
It was going to be in math education. And after doing some student tutoring, I just realized, like, I don't think I would fit well in that sedentary nature of that job. I just couldn't see myself being a teacher, which is unfortunate because, I mean, it's pretty easy, you know, to become a coach when you're going into teaching, but it's just not right for me.
Got it. Well, and the ultimate goal for you is to be a director of football operations on the college level. Is that correct?
Or that would be, yeah. I'll have them both equally, but that would be fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I know the answer, my question is, do you know if getting into that role without a degree is really, really hard, or because it's on the college level, they're pretty much looking for everybody to have a degree?
Yeah. So from my research this past month, I've seen listings both saying, you know, bachelor's degree required, not required, preferred, you know, related in the sports field, doesn't have to be. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. What do you think is the most traditional? And I don't want to get hung up on traditional, because I think traditionals is sometimes the wrong way to think about a path. But what's the traditional path for somebody going into that role? Have you talked to anybody in those roles on the collegiate level and asked them what their path looked like?
I haven't spoken to anyone personally, but the internet and some Bureau of Labor Statistics websites, they say that, you know, typically you go to school, get your bachelor's in some sort of health and fitness, and then, you know, internship, and then work your way into that role that way, or business too. But I've seen more going through the sports-specific route.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's probably what I would have guessed. So you're already 2 years into school.
Yeah.
I think in this case, I would stay in school, and here's why. And I use a two-part kind of filtering system, call it a litmus test, if you will. Is college the only way, meaning a degree in college, to get where you want to go, or is college the best way? I think you and I have both answered the first one. I don't think it's the only way to get that job as a director of operations on a college football team, but I do think it's the best way. And so because you've already got 2 years in, I would switch majors. That's not that big of a headache. And I would move towards the exercise science or sports management. You know, I think somewhere in that direction, there's probably a range of other degrees that are at least a little bit more relevant. And it's less about the degree. It's more about the opportunities that those degrees would give you for placement. And so that would be my number one decision. I'd be going, okay, is a sports management, and I'm just thinking of degrees I'm aware of. You're probably aware of more than I am. But is a sports management degree or a exercise science or physical education degree, whatever, which one of those, because you can do your homework with your career services people at your college, they'll help you with this, which one of those has the best internship placement? I think that is everything for you. And if between now and the time you get your diploma, you can intern with some pro football teams, that would be spectacular. You know, if you can, what school are you at right now?
I go to Youngstown State University.
Oh my
God. But the problem with that is that they don't currently offer a sports management program. So I've been looking to
Go somewhere else.
Elsewhere.
The
thing is, these public schools in Ohio here are pretty much out of my price range. So my thinking is maybe not drop out necessarily, but work, save up some money, and go back in a couple of years. Do you think that hurts my prospect at all?
Not at all.
Jumping in?
Not at all. Not at all. It's like saying, Ken, do you think that college coaching positions and director of operations for college football teams, is that going to go extinct in 2 years? What's the answer to that?
Mm-hmm. Obviously not, no.
Yeah, so you're doing it the right way.
Okay.
You're delaying the dream a little bit, but here's the deal. What's the nearest big university to you?
Besides Youngstown State, probably Ohio State.
Do you live in Warren, Ohio right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm an all-in guy. So if I know that I've got to work for a couple of years to come up with the money to cash flow my way through this degree, I want to be super strategic. And so I'm going, as a young guy, can I move to Cincinnati? Could I move to Cleveland? Could I get some lower level? So could I get a job driving at night? And during the day, could I get an internship or a like a guy who's in charge of concession stands at the Cleveland Browns? I mean, dude, I'm looking for any job that I can get into a pro football organization in Ohio or anywhere. That's my mindset. And because you're young, and now's the time to burn it at both ends. So so you make more money, but ultimately it's like you just need an entry-level position. You get in, and I don't know if you heard me teach at the start of the show, but right there, my man, those four things, you become those four things. They're going, man, this guy's sharp. I like Dylan. He's hungry. And they keep promoting you up. Then you got the money saved up. You finish the degree, and you're connected with college coaches because you've got pro contacts, and you've got all these relationships on the pro level that say, man, Dylan's sharp. This guy gets it. And you intern for an operations guy on the pro level, I would be doing anything and everything to do that. So that's the best plan. Go get a good day job, making good money. It's going to allow you to save up. But do it at night, off hour, something, so that you can get a great internship or a entry-level hourly wage, no nothing, no big pay. Who cares? You just got to get in. Your job is to build a football resume while you're working and while you are getting through college. And it's all about relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. The Proximity Principle is a book I wrote a few years ago. And it says this: in order to do what I want to do, you can fill in the blank, I got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. And I just gave you a very specific set of actions. That's the Proximity Principle. Because when you're there, you're around the right people. You're in the right place. They're going to introduce you to more of the right people. They're going to open up opportunities for you to get in more places. And before you know it, dude, you're in. You got a great little resume, and that degree is just nothing more than a ticket for you. Mm-hmm. You got it?
Yes, thank you, Ken, very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, you got this. Folks, don't miss this. I got this question on social media. In fact, I'll read it to you. I want to real time this for you. I go on Instagram at Ken Coleman. You can follow me on Instagram, and I engage with folks. And so yesterday we put out a Q&A, and I basically said, ask me anything. And this all ties in. Here's a question I got. And let me pull this up. Let's see. Here it is. Let's see. I'm turning 34, and I'm considering going back to school to become a registered nurse. Is it too late? And here was my reply. Are nurses who are in their mid-30s, in their mid-40s, in their 50s too old to be good nurses? Of course not. And so I wrote, it's not too late. It's time. Now, here's the deal. Here's how that ties into this young man. He's 2 years into school. And he's going, I was going to be a math major to teach math and think about going into college football, maybe as a high school coach. And he's like, I'm not going to love teaching math. And then he says to me, Ken, is it a waste of time for me to back out for a couple of years, save up the money to finish? And the answer is no. His profession, his dream isn't going anywhere. So what if there's a delay on the back end of this? Is what we're doing this for, is to actually get in it and succeed. Be patient. It's worth it. Don't move. In the News coming up next. I like that bump, Joe. That makes me have a little extra juice with my voice being a little down. Hey, here we are. Hard to believe we're almost done with January. Are you kidding me? Like, I blinked and January's threatening to leave? What's going on? Somebody make it slow down. Well, January is a big job change month. I'm interested to see what the numbers will be as this great resignation continues. Millions and millions of people changing jobs. And it is a job seeker's market because, millions of people reflected over the pandemic and said, I want more. And I think it's great. My friends at ZipRecruiter can help you if you're thinking about moving. They send you the right jobs and you can apply to most of them with one click. They may even send you an awesome job that you never knew existed. This is a free service to you. The companies are paying for them. They're paying them for you. So it's free to you. And it's super effective. Sign up for free today. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. The website again is ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. And it takes just minutes to get going and let them go to work for you. All right. More scary news about horrible leadership and horrible cultures. And I'm going to keep pounding this until something happens. Let's get to it in the news. Headline from Inc. Magazine, Inc.com is where we pulled this. Australian research just did a study of over 1,000 workers recently and discovered that working for a company that lacks psychological safety triples a person's chances of suffering from major depression. The study was run out of the University of South Australia, and they published the findings in the British Medical Journal. And the basic premise was this. They were going to follow a group of workers over 1 year and then see who among those workers is diagnosed with serious depression. Then, what were the sources? What were the factors in the workplace that influenced people's chances of having negative mental health issues? So they crunched the numbers, and it's pretty clear. This is unbelievable. Actually, I don't know why I say it's unbelievable. It's actually very believable, but the numbers are stark. If you work at a company that doesn't value your psychological well-being, your risk of depression doesn't go up a bit. It shoots up. Listen, folks. 300%. One of the lead researchers is a lady by the name of Amy Zaidow. She's quoted saying, companies that fail to reward or acknowledge their employees for hard work, impose unreasonable demands on workers, and do not give them autonomy are placing their staff at a much greater risk of depression. Now, again, that's a mouthful, so let's break down what she said. There's multiple things that are going on here, and this is shining the light on bad bosses, horrible leadership. And you folks are dealing with this. And you either got to choose if you're going to deal with it or not. Some of you are listening and watching, and you leaders are doing this unintentionally. Please listen and wake up. First, fail to reward or acknowledge. Now, there's two things there. Reward is not always pay. It's not always a bonus. But rewards are certainly compensation related. But acknowledge, they combine the two. She combined the two. She doesn't know. She's not in this space. I'll help her out. It's what I do. The reward could be a financial bump, a bonus, a $100 handshake, but it could also be an extra vacation weekend where the company pays for it. I mean, a reward could be simple as, hey, we're going to take you and your wife out for dinner and get you both a massage package, or the whole team is going to celebrate you. These are rewards. Doesn't always have to be big dollars, leaders. Doesn't have to be expensive. And then the acknowledge piece she treats as the same. It's not. I would call that recognition. Rewards and recognition, two different strategies. Two different opportunities, leaders, to value people. Recognition is not just calling them into your office and going, hey, you did a good job. It's taking the opportunity to catch them doing something right, maybe, and acknowledging them in front of their team, whether it be formal or informal. This is recognition. Am I noticed? Does my leader notice me? Does my leader see me? That's at the heart of recognition. Then, unreasonable demands. Now, I let me just pause here, because I know leaders have been squeezed during this unprecedented time of the pandemic and, you know, people leaving and resources being thin. I get it. Leaders, if you are going to increase the workload of people, you need to acknowledge how much that sucks. Remember, they're people. Tell them, hey, this sucks. I'm sorry I have to do this. And then here's another approach. How about going, I'm going to help out. I'm not going to take a demand of an increased work with no pay and nothing coming with it. Hey, I just need you to pull a little extra. As a leader, I'm not going to hand that to you and then stand back and see how you do. I'm going to shoulder it together. Hey, I got my shoulder to this. Can you come give me your shoulder? I need your shoulder. We shoulder the load together. Come on, leaders. Don't ask them to do something that you aren't doing and hide behind, well, I'm the leader. I got to make tough calls. Yeah, they get it. But show some daggum empathy and compassion. How about suffer with them? They'll stay with you. And then the other interesting finding was not giving people autonomy. We forget that these are adults. These are grown men and grown women. Give them some autonomy. Give them the freedom to figure it out and not be fearful of failing. Now here we go. You want me to tell you where this comes from, leaders? I'm gonna let you off the hook. The reason we lead poorly in this area is because we were taught poorly. The American education system teaches kids to be scared of making mistakes. Think about it. Kid takes a test, they get it back. What are they doing? They're cringing. How many points off did I get? What did I miss? Oh boy, Ken stepping in it now. When a kid gets their quiz or test back, their automatic response is not, what did I learn? Their response is, how many did I miss? Look at what's happening. Psychologically, we have come through a system that is churning out future leaders and workers, and everybody's mindset is, I'm afraid to make a mistake. Stuff matters, folks. So leaders, I mean, look, you got to wake up. People, wake up. You want to work at a place where they give you autonomy. So this is what's creating depression. Think about it. You take a human being who is naturally in their own element, a human being that desires to learn, is curious, has a sense of wonder about them. They want to make progress. They want to help others. This is the human condition. Nobody has to teach a human to do any of those things. And then we systemize all that out of them. And so they come into work and they're like, I don't want to make a mistake. And you leaders don't give them any autonomy because you're trying to make sure they don't make a mistake. And then you don't trust them and they don't feel trusted. They don't feel valued. No wonder they're depressed. So we have a real problem. What's the solution? Workers who will have the guts to look at their leaders and go, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about trying this? Leaders who are willing to go, wait a second, it wasn't that long ago that I was a follower. How do I want to be treated? Hey, companies, let's take the fear factor off of people trying something, to do something different, to give it a go, to know that mistakes lead to breakthroughs. Let's just try it. All right, coming up next, we'll get to your calls, and the job tip of the day is coming up. And we got all kinds of goodness still coming. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I want to go to the chat room really quick before we get to Richard, who's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Ralph Mendoza in the chat room saying, Ken's hitting the nail on the head. School has become about compliance and tunnel vision instead of learning. Kaylin Connor says, my husband is a school teacher. He's annoyed that schools give so much tests now. They spend more time initiating said tests instead of actually teaching the kids. There you go. We all know it's a problem. At what point, parents, do we stand up? I'm just warming up on this issue, folks. I'm going all in down this rabbit hole this year. We are going to confront the system. And we're going to actually turn out pathfinders, not test takers, because that's what the world needs. 844-747-2577. Richard joins us now in Dallas, Texas. Richard, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thanks for spending your time with me. I really do appreciate it.
You bet. What's up?
Well, basically, I'm in my early 50s. We are going through our family a pretty big transition. Recently discovered we're going to be moving halfway across the country.
Wow.
And just a real quick background, my wife, she's a primary earner. I'm in residential remodeling and kind of hit my stride in the last few years. And so now I have to think, I'm a new listener to the show primarily because I wasn't worried about finding a new career.
Right.
And so long story short, I've listened to you on the Dave Ramsey show, and I'm familiar at least with the concept of proximity. So I started to reach out and was having some troubles trying to reach out remotely, get in proximity with people remotely. However, with kind of binge listening to your show, I've realized something. It's like, do I really get value in what it is I do? My career focus, I guess, in a nutshell, has been a little bit more reactionary. Hey, we need money. I can make money. That's always something I can figure out how to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the more I've looked at it, basically residential remodeling, I'm an independent contractor that functions underneath an umbrella of a small residential contractor. I love the guys that I work with, but people would ask me, you know, why don't you just open your own business? You can make more money. And it just didn't dawn on me until recently. It's like, well, my answer is always the same, is because I don't love what I do. Why would I open a business doing something I don't love?
Yeah, it's good.
And so it's a good answer, but then all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, the easiest thing for me to do is go back into the role I'm in now and comfortable with.
Yeah. Well, let me just jump in for a second.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with that in this transition. You're moving halfway across the country, and so if you guys need your income, the fact is that, okay, that's a day job, and it's a good day job because you've proven you're good at it, and here's the good news. It doesn't matter where you move in America, they're going to need remodeling. So
exactly.
If it's nothing more than a landing place for you, and again, we'll call it a day job, mm-hmm. then I'm fine with it. So
okay.
I wouldn't look down my nose at it. That's a good landing spot temporarily.
Okay.
But now let's talk about what it is you really want to do. And I don't believe you called me today with no ideas. I just don't believe that. And so I want to take the pressure off of you. What do you think you want to do? Or what do you wonder about when you're behind the wheel of the car or you're washing your hair in the shower? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail, Richard?
Right.
Say it. You're already thinking it. That
exactly.
Little pause, it's flashing through your brain. Say what was in your mind. I don't care how it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Say it.
Well, there's actually, I know it sounds, well, there's two things. One is my entire life I've always been fascinated with aviation.
Right.
But the other is I had military service many, many, many years ago. and I've kind of discovered there's a network of veteran-owned businesses, and there's one in particular that I've always been fascinated with. And I think what it is having the sort of that veteran community that is working with active military. So... And in this one case, it's one where, believe it or not, it's a coffee shop of all things, but it's veteran owned, and they're starting to spread throughout the country. I'm not picking on Starbucks, but when I explain what this company is, it's like, oh, it's great. It's like Starbucks, but it's the anti Starbucks. You know?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. I'm running out of time. Oh, okay. Man. Here's the deal. I want you to do it. I want you to do the restoration on the side, save up the money, and eventually launch the coffee shop. I don't care if it takes 10 years. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. Throughout the month of January, we have been doing the job tip of the day. And, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, we in our In the News segment, we shared a story that was so outrageous that we've touched on it a couple times. And so we're going to come back to it a third time. And the story itself was unbelievable. It was the CEO of Better.com. And this video went viral because this guy fired 900 people on one Zoom call. Like, he thought this was a good idea. He gets 900 people, all 900 that are about to be laid off. They don't know they're being laid off. He does a Zoom call and he doesn't even like, there's like no compassion. And this video went viral. You can go watch it. And so, of course, I went off on it. You know, the irony was so thick. It was, you know, it was unbelievable. Like, you're the CEO of Better.com, and this is the worst thing I've ever seen a leader do as it relates to firing somebody. So anyway, we thought, okay, let's turn this into a leadership tip of the day. So here's our job tip of the day. All right, so we have so many responses. People, you all weighed in, you agreed, it was pretty big. So we had some questions. Ken, how should he have done it? How does a company lay off 900 people and do it with some class and do it the right way? So I think it's pretty simple. So let's lead with the theme here. It should have been about dignity. You know, bringing all 900 together and just whacking them in the head showed no dignity to those people. All those people had managers on some level. And so I don't care how much time it takes. I would have led with intimacy to provide dignity. So one-on-one Zoom calls is fine, but it should have been with their manager. One-on-one. Hey, this is terrible. Here's what's going on. Here's why we got to do it. Allow them to kind of process it in that intimacy of a one-to-one conversation and relationship. And that at least shows people dignity, 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 dignity. That's how you do it. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go now to Denise, who joins us in Los Angeles. Denise, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you for taking my call. Excuse my voice because, like you, I've been sick.
So. Hey, can't you tell? Sounds like I've been smoking a pack a day, folks. I haven't.
I know.
Right? I'm just getting over the remnants of this garbage. What's up?
So originally I was calling to ask you about the assessment and the results compared to what someone thought they wanted to do. Okay. So, like, I took the assessment twice.
Okay.
And both times, I thought I wanted to do something, but it's not showing up. So, like, how do you differentiate between the two? But then my second thing is, I heard you talk about the return on investment, and that kind of pretty much answered the question in my first one.
Oh, well, okay. So let's back into this. So for our audience, she's talking about my Get Clear Career Assessment, which measures talent, passion, and mission. Talent, what you do best. Passion, work you love. That's how we define it. And then mission, results you want to create with your work. And so it gives you a detailed report and it fills out a purpose statement. Now, you took it twice and I'm curious, you said, did it give you the same purpose statement twice?
No, it didn't actually.
Well, of course
not. And I realized when I took it, when I started taking it the second time, I realized that the first time I was answering the questions as what I hope to become or what I hope to be. And I realized that in the second one, and I answered it as, like, present, being in the moment.
Okay.
And the second one came out more results, purpose statement.
Right. And so forget about the professional possibilities, because that's what you've been looking at. So for people who haven't taken it, I got to give them context so they're not flying blind. After you get your purpose statement, we throw together some possible career paths. But no assessment should ever say this is exactly what you should do, because it's bad science. So we give you some possibilities based on largely the talent and the passion stuff, right? What you're good at. and then the work you love. So we give you possibilities. So if what you were dreaming about wasn't on the list, don't let that bother you. What's most important is, did the second time you take it, when you were more honest in the moment, did that purpose statement ring truer of you than the first one?
Yes, it did.
Okay. So what did it say? Can you read it to me?
Yeah. I was created to use my talents of connection, instruction, and justice to perform my passions of promoting, creating, teaching, to accomplish my mission of influence by producing change and progress.
Yeah. So what is it? Forget the purpose statement now. What is it that you called in going, this is what I want to do? And then I started talking about the ROI of a degree, and now you're really confused. What is it that you wanted to do? And you were hoping the assessment.
I thought I wanted to do, like, lawyer, become a lawyer.
Why? Why do you want to be a lawyer?
Because I like helping the underdog. Like, you know, like a bad landlord evicting the tenant or not fixing things, or like, you know, domestic violence, or maybe like divorces, you know, just more so just helping people who don't know where to look or how to look or how to research, and just helping them.
All right. Now that's great. I want you to keep at top of mind what you just said. Now let's go back to the top three passions the assessment pointed out for you, the type of work you love. Say them again.
Oh, the type of work I love?
Yeah, the three passions.
Oh, helping people. Oh, yeah.
No.
Helping people. Oh, the...
No. Go back to your assessment, and your top three passions were, give me the three words.
Oh, connection, instruction, and justice.
Connection? No. Justice is talent. Look at your passion line.
Oh, passion. Sorry, I'm sorry. Promoting, creating, and teaching.
Promoting, creating, and teaching. Now, influence was your top result on your mission, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if we look at promoting, creating, teaching, and then we combine it, let's take lawyer off the table for a second. And we get back to what you said is, I like helping the underdog. I like helping the person who's kind of behind the eight ball in life get what they need to succeed. That's essentially, am I saying that in my own words?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. See, I think that now you go back to the passion and you read those descriptions. Okay. The promoting, the creating, the teaching. I really think that what you want to promote is maybe something that you create, like solutions. And you show people how to use those solutions to win in a certain area of their life. I think that's the thread I see.
Oh, that's interesting.
I see you advocating for change. I see you promoting change for influence. I see you instructing and teaching and guiding. That's what I see. I think it's still the little guy. I still think it's the underdog. But instead of defending them in the court of law, I think you want to help them in their everyday life. That's what I hear. How does that sound to you?
That sounds pretty spot on, yeah.
Okay, great. So here are three more questions that are baked into the assessment, but I'm going to pull them out for you, okay? Here's your homework assignment. Who are the people you most want to help? Another way of saying it is, describe the underdogs and the real challenges the underdogs are facing. And then the second question is, well, it's who do you want to help? What problem do you want to solve? What solution do you want to provide? Okay, so now you go, okay, I want to help the underdog. Those are the people I want to help. The problem they have, the challenge these underdogs are facing that you connect to, okay? There are some issues that really draw your heart in. You need to identify those. These people are struggling with this. And then you go, okay, what are the solutions? Well, there's a component of teaching that you're gonna have to get involved with. And so I think if you can answer that, then you start looking into the world at work and go, okay, how can I do that? Then is it necessary that I go to college to do that? So she's in stage one of getting clear. Stage two is getting qualified, but we don't know what it's going to take to get qualified until she knows what it is she really wants to do. And that's how the assessment works. Creates this purpose statement, and we begin to dive into these words: promoting, coaching, teaching, for influence. How do I do that? Is it a lawyer? Not at all. And you just heard her go, oh. That's why the assessment works. You can get it, by the way, with the book From Paycheck to Purpose at kencoleman.com. All right. If you're currently watching The Ken Coleman Show, we're going to return in a moment for unbelievable job titles and what they pay. It's hilarious and accurate. For our listeners, thank you. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruz Show.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel Cruz, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruz Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruz wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruz.com.